Hey, what's going on, you guys? It's Alex from Casual Opinions Podcast. How y'all doing today?
Hopefully they're doing good. Okay, so if y'all missed last episode, we went over Modern Warfare, Marvel Snap, and we went the new Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2. And we went over, what was it? We went over a movie. I think it was Terrifier 2.
Yeah. We talked about Terrifier 2. We talked about Modern Warfare, and I think the last thing we ended off was Snap.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about how Alice in the Wonderland is seeming like it's pointing towards an acid trip. I mean, that sounds crazy
for a Disney movie. That sounds a little bold, but
I promise you, once you hear the facts, it really does tie together. And then what else are we talking about? We should be talking about The Lighthouse.
Oh yeah. So I guess for today, so me and him were discussing topics for me and Ty were discussing topics for today. And he mentioned it kind of just happened by accident. He was talking about how, he watched Alice in the Wonderland again. And he was like, bro, this movie is explicit. Weird.
it almost seemed a little too weird.
I know, like, it seemed almost like, not saying either one of us has experience with anything, but like I was like, hey, you know, that seems like something someone might think about
usually when people have like those bad trips, those bad acid trips, it's something that's stayed with them for a while. Like they've been seeing this definitely for a while. Not necessarily they have been on acid for that long, but they've been seeing it for a while. And what I'm getting at with, I'm talking about the first live action version of Alice in Wonderland, by the way. And what I mean by all of that is Alice, you start off by seeing her as a little kid. Her dad's always talking about all these like make-believe things and everything. And she has the same dream every night. Keep that in mind. She has the same dream every night. And when she's a little kid, all the way up until, I don't actually know how old she is. She looks about in her 20s. And then it cuts to a scene where she's in a carriage. When she's in that carriage, she does not look well at all. She looks pale. Her eyes are sunken in, and she looks like she's hallucinating because she's seeing a rabbit literally run around, and she's chasing this said rabbit with a pocket watch and a vest on. Like, come on now.
Well, I was going to bring up, when you mentioned wanting to do this topic today, I watched the original cartoon from like 1956, I think is when it came out. Yeah. And then I watched the first live action, I guess, remake of it. And in the original cartoon, I noticed, cause like, I mean, not that I was taking notes or anything, but you know, I was paying attention to some stuff knowing that we were going to be talking about it. And like, it's just like, it seems like a fever dream. Like, like I feel like I've had the flu before, right? Like we all have. And I remember definitely like having some of the wackiest, like, and I bring that up to say that while fever dreams can be whack, after watching the live action interpretation, some of like the themes and the stuff in it, it's like, homie was like, tripping.
Yeah, it's almost like they were on drugs. Like it really does seem like that. And because, and the only reason why I say that is because they interpret like her taking potions to manipulate her body,
to her size and her appearance and stuff like that, which, and
even cake, you know. I heard that they did something with mushrooms, but
So in the original cartoon, so I'm pretty sure I'm not sure if you've seen the original cartoon, Ty. Have you?
No.
You've never seen it?
I'm curious to see what you got to say about
that. Okay, so in the original cartoon, well, I'm sure you've heard of the hookah smoking caterpillar.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so when she meets him, the reason why she meets these characters is because before she meets him, she meets some flowers. Mm-hmm. And the reason why she gets to that point is because the whole movie, she's trying to track down this rabbit and figure out what he's doing, where he's going, yeah. Which is a oddly weird plot point to begin with. Yeah. So she ends up getting to the rabbit's house and she accidentally, like, he mistakes her for like his assistant. And she's like, oh, I'm running late. I need you to go inside and grab my white gloves. So she goes upstairs to go grab them. And there's these cookies that if previously, there were some other cookies that look exactly like him, which made her grow in height. So anyway, what happens is she grows super tall and they almost burn the rabbit's house down because they think she's a monster. And they're like, okay, we got to smoke the monster out. We got to burn the monster out. So she's like, oh God, I don't know what to do. So she's like, oh, maybe if I eat normal food, it'll shrink me back down. So she eats stuff and it shrinks her back down to like insect size. So she's traveling through like the woods and stuff, trying to get home or trying to find the rabbit because like the rabbit's late, you know, and he's off on the run and stuff. She's trying to chase down this rabbit. Well, she goes and she lands in like this flower patch and the flowers talk to her and stuff and all this stuff. And then they find out she's not actually a flower and they get mad and kick her out. Well,
oh my goodness.
She's like distressed. And I know I'm describing this and I'm hearing myself say all this stuff and I'm like, oh wow, this is getting, but so anyway, so she gets to this point where she hears this guy talking or he's singing like vowels. He's like A, E, I, O, U, and it's like smoke coming out. So she goes and it's this caterpillar and he's sitting on top of this mushroom and he's smoking from this hookah. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about what that might be implying, but he's smoking from this hookah and homie is like so amazed by vowels and like, what is she doing there? Like trying to be all philosophical and stuff like this. And so finally she gets the caterpillar mad and because something about she says something like, well, three inches isn't very like big at all. Shut up. and the caterpillar
enough to me.
Well, the caterpillar gets angry because he's exactly 3 inches tall. Cause you know, she's shrunken down. So, you know, he appears big, but it's because she's shrunken down and he's like, well, I'll have you know, I'm 3 inches tall, whatever. So he gets mad and cocoons and turns into a butterfly. And before he flies away, she's like, wait, you know, I got to get home. I need to know how to get home. And she's sitting on this mushroom and he's like one side. He's like, he just flies away and he says, one side will make you bigger. One side will make you smaller. And she's like, of what? And he gets pissed and he flies back and he's like, well, of the mushroom, of course. And then he gets mad and flies away like for good. And that's the mushroom part, is she's sitting on this mushroom and she's like, huh, I wonder which shroom works. Well, which one's going to make me bigger? Which one's going to make me
that as a shroom?
Not as a shroom, but she's sitting on top of this mushroom and she picks a piece out from each side and she's trying to sit there and figure out which side's going to make her bigger and which side smaller. And she like eats one and she gets humongous and almost kills like this bird lady who's trying to guard her eggs. Like, dude, this movie's whack. Like I'm describing this to myself and I'm like, dude, what?
Well, and what I'm trying to get at is like, at the end of the movie, spoiler warning, but probably most of us has probably seen this before, but at the end of the movie, she's been in this world for her whole life. Like she's been to this world from since she was a kid and she just miraculously can't remember it. Seems a little suspect to me. And while she's in this world, she meets all these different types of characters with all these different traits and all of these different aspects about them, right? This cat, I don't know what's going on with this cat, but
he's trippy in the cartoon too, dude. It's crazy.
Creeps me out. But I'm mainly gonna focus on the Mad Hatter because he's a little weird to me. Does Johnny Depp play the Mad Hatter? Is that what I saw?
That is Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter. Yeah, you're correct.
All right.
And the live action and the cartoon are very different because in the live action's a little bit more creepier. And I guess I say this because you like bring up the Mad Hatter in the cartoon. Like I was laughing today, like watching that crap in my room, bro. Cause so like me and you got to go back and watch the cartoon together because the cartoon, like if you think the live action is trippy, you're going to freak out the cartoon. And that's why I brought up like the caterpillar and stuff. Cause I mean, he's smoking a hookah and he's talking about mushrooms and how it'll change. And she's like, oh, I don't know which one's going to change me or whatever and stuff like that. And it definitely hints at a lot of, it definitely has like a lot of, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Starts with an I.
Irresponsible.
No, it has a lot of it's hinting at something, but it's not outright saying it because it's like it's a kid's movie. I'm sure it'll come to me later. But yeah, anyway, like the Mad Hatter in the cartoon is very comical and very funny. I'll just say funny.
And what I've kind of interpreted, you know, throughout the like movie, let's say it was like her on drugs, would it not be too far like to say that, because you know there's two sides of there's a good side and then there's an evil side, right? One side's red, one side's right.
Yeah,
could that be like her brain? Like, can you think about it like that?
Yeah, I can't, because I was going to say in the cartoon. I was going to say in the cartoon, what happens is at the end of the movie, she finds out she was asleep the whole time.
Or interpreted as like depression and happiness.
Well, I was going to say because I was sitting here thinking about, you know, like what could this movie be trying to talk about or something like that. And one was like, you know, freaking it could be that it's like all Alice in the Acid Trip, or it could be
Alice in the Acid Trip.
That is the title of this podcast. Or it could be, you know, to get a little dark, it could be, you know, like I don't know if you've ever heard, you know, sometimes kids who experience trauma and stuff can sometimes create imaginary worlds and friends and stuff to try to, you know, escape within themselves to get away and stuff like that. And so, cause there's like one point where in the cartoon, I know at least I don't remember much of the live action just because I mostly watched like the cartoon today. And I'm not gonna lie, Johnny Depp in that movie kind of creeped me out. But
have you noticed that his eyes change from
green? Yes, I noticed that, and I think that has some sort of like symbolism. This movie is definitely one that you gotta watch and interpret it for yourself. There's no, I don't think there's really like a definite like answer.
Yes, but back to what I was saying. So if we take it as depression and happiness, it's more of like obviously she's fighting it. She's been fighting it since she was a kid, it sounds like. And it the way it's explained in the movie, it's more of like depression has been winning for so long and she's been so pretty much depressed. And this would explain why she's doing drugs and her eyes are sunken in and she's pale and she's not getting any sleep at night. This would explain all those aspects.
Yeah.
This would also explain the imaginary friends with the trauma. This would explain a whole bunch of other stuff. Whereas if we just watch it as a movie, none of this is,
it just seems like nothing makes sense. Like none of it really makes sense. And that's a point I made to myself watching the cartoon, is like, dude, like if you don't think about this on a deeper level, this movie does not like make sense at all. Like if you weren't thinking about it on a different level, this movie sucks because none of it makes sense. Like the plot doesn't make sense. But when you start thinking about it, and I was laughing not because of trauma and stuff. I'm laughing because, you know, when he brought up the draw, I was like, damn, bro, them shrooms be hitting different.
but to
talk about that, in the cartoon, at least at the very start of the movie, she's being tutored and she's going through like this lesson, and lady's like, oh, you should pay attention to your schoolwork, you should pay attention to your lesson. She's like, I don't want to pay attention. And she's like, it's kind of like one, and that's what ends up happening. And she's like, you know, like she was like, you know, like if I had my own world, this and this would happen, you know, everyone would talk like this instead of this. And she says this at the beginning of the movie, and then she sees this white rabbit, and then that's how the movie gets going off. And then by the end, she's trying to get back home because the evil queen is trying to cut her head off. Yes. And she ends up like finding that door that was locked, and she's like, oh, please help me, I'm trying to go home. And he's like, but can't you see you are home? And she sees herself sleeping underneath the tree.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, like, huh, I wonder, I wonder what happened.
And let's get like towards, I'm a veer on like the depression side. So yeah, the queen likes to cut off people's heads. So she, what I'm interpreting is that she doesn't like to be, I don't know. The queen doesn't want to surround herself around good people.
No,
I don't know what I'm trying to say there. It's in my head. I just don't know how to say it.
Well, I know at least in the cartoon, the whole point of her being in that Wonderland was that everything is like ass backwards opposite. Cause if you think about it, the movie came out in 1950 something, you know, the fact that the queen was the main ruler, you know, back in those days, you know, you know, a woman, like, I'm not trying to say that.
We'll
just say women didn't have, you know, the utmost respect and power and rights and shit. Yeah. But in her world, you know, the queen, if they painted her roses red and she found out, you know, it was no trial, no nothing, just cut off the head. They're done.
Okay, let's veer off towards the end of the movie where Alice is pressured into fighting the evil queen's dragon. So her depression?
I was gonna say
like when she kills the dragon, she kills all that, she gets praised. Everything's over now. So is that her interpreting that, like, she fought her depression, she won, and she's over it now? Like, is that how this is supposed to go?
I mean, I never looked at it like that, but now that you're mentioning all this stuff, I want to watch it again and be like, and try to see if I can pinpoint, you know, like, okay, this is her depression, this is the, you know, this is like that stuff, and this is her dealing with that stuff and stuff like that. Cause I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, like when that movie takes place, I think they're still riding around like it with like horses and buggies and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like, I don't think it's like very specific with what time period, but you know, it's in a time, you know, before cars and stuff like that. And I don't know if you know much about history, but you know, back in those days, you know, life and shit wasn't easy.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
So I mean, that would definitely make sense. You know, she's going through some stuff and she's just trying to deal with it in her own way. Cause I mean, like I said, the cartoon seems more drug and like that kind of stuff related, but
yeah,
it's almost like the two creators have similar but also very different goals in these movies.
Yeah. I honestly personally, I am going to veer off a little bit, and let me just talk about the Mad Hatter. I've been wanting to talk about this dude at the end of the movie specifically.
Go ahead.
Okay, can we just like elaborate on why does the Mad Hatter just like start jigging at the end of the movie?
I was replaying the movie in my head, and that scene came up like because you mentioned the end with the dragon, and I was like, oh yeah, what happens at the end? And I remember that part. I was like, I wonder if he's good.
The Mad Hatter just starts like jigging at the end out of nowhere. Like she just fought her depression, she won and everything, and this dude is like praising it. Like I thought that was the funniest stuff, because when I was interpreting it in my head and it was playing, like all this stuff was going in my head, and then when he did that, I was joked out. It was so funny. All right. Are you still wanting to talk about Alice in Wonderland? Or
I mean, I think I kind of said all I took away from at least mostly the cartoon, because I mean that's the one that mostly sat with me the most, because I mean that's the one I remember from when I was little. That was the first one I experienced, and I guess it hits me a little different just because, you know, when you watch it as a kid, you're just, your brain's not comprehending these deeper things. You know, you're just a dumb little kid with like half of a brain. You're not thinking, you aren't comprehending complex thoughts. So it was interesting for me to experience that again today. And like, oh crap, this is kind of depressing.
All right. So actually I'm going to let Alex take the floor a little more on this topic. We are going to talk a little on The Lighthouse.
Okay.
So, made in 2019. It is a film that's created in black and white, and it is kind of on a line of The Shining. I think Stephen King wrote it. Stephen King didn't write it.
This was an independent project. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the production company A24. They make a lot of indie films and stuff like that, and try to give, you know, a lot of independent directors and stuff like their, I guess, like their big break. So the guy that directed this one, his name's Robert Eggers. If you can't tell, I love this movie by how much I know about it and its director and stuff. But he directed a movie called The Witch, which was also produced by A24 Films. I don't know if you saw that one, Ty. That's,
I saw some trailers on it.
Yeah, that one's also really good. So anyway, it's the same director, The Witch. You know, it's a really good movie. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely recommend go seeing both of these. But when he had brought up watching Alice in the Wonderland, and I was watching it, and it got me thinking about how like bonkers this movie is. It made me think of like some other bonkers movies, and oh my goodness, this movie, The Lighthouse, man, it's crazy. He is right. It is on some levels of The Shining where it kind of delves into isolation, makes you go crazy, and yeah,
it's a real slow burn. But I will give it, like me personally, I do not really care for The Shining, but this movie is it's an exception, because it's really it goes all the way to that they haven't seen a woman figure in so long that they kind of go homosexual. And yeah, sorry for the background noise, guys. But it almost goes to the point where like he's like,
well, I guess a brief little summary.
Sorry, guys. There's a yee-yee out there with his big twuck.
Yeah, sorry. But hashtag college life. But so anyway, I guess like a brief little rundown of the movie so it's this guy by the way, there's only like three actors in this movie. There's two main ones, and then I guess you can count her as an actress, because she's only in it for like the siren lady. But so anyway, Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe, if you do not like even like slow burn movies, stuff like that, this movie is worth watching just for their performances alone. Like, I think they got nominated for a lot of stuff just because of their performances. Like, that was a big thing I took away from it. But anyway, so Robert Pattinson, he gets put on this on lighthouse duty. The movie's very mysterious. I'll go ahead and say that there's a lot of mystery and like kind of figure it out for yourself kind of stuff in this movie, which I love. But essentially, they get put on this lighthouse, and he gets put on this lighthouse duty with Willem Dafoe, who's been watching the lighthouse for like 100 years. Like, he's old as shit. Like, yeah. Willem Dafoe is like so old and stuff. And it starts off kind of, you know, cool. It's like they get there and they're just like, you know, like, how you doing? Stuff like that. You know, like, okay, here, this is your job. This is your, this is my job. I'm older, so I'm going to do this. And it gets to the point where Robert Pattinson's character is like, oh, hey, it's my turn to look over the lighthouse tonight. And Willem Dafoe just goes, no, you don't get to do it. I do.
Yeah.
And that kind of is what starts the mystery, and it just dwells into madness at like, just like Ty was saying, like the isolation, the not being able to see a woman in so long.
Yes.
They basically get full homo, but I mean, there were some parts. Definitely go check this one out for yourself. I'm running out of time a little bit to, I'm running out of time here to kind of talk about it in detail. Maybe I can do that in a later episode, but definitely if you haven't seen it, go check this one out for yourselves. If you like that kind of stuff, Descent into Madness, it's told from like, these characters are not reliable narrators at all. And that's what made me get on the topic of like tripping, because the first time I watched this, I was like, did I just see that right? Like, did I just watch that correctly? Or was I like half asleep? Like, the first, it's definitely one that if you want to trip out watching it and go at the end of it, just go, you know, what the F, like, definitely go watch and check it out. It's crazy. It goes from stuff of like, I know at one point in the movie, I don't want to spoil it too much, but, they start drinking and you're not sure if what they're seeing is because
they're
drinking or if it's some Cthulhu shit going on.
Yeah. You'll notice why he says Cthulhu shit.
Yeah.
When you watch it, because it's really best, bizarre film.
It's very bizarre. And that's why I liked it. Cause it was so unorthodox and just so away from the norm. I mean, this movie dropped when like Infinity War and all this stuff was, you know, a bunch of mainstream stuff. And it was nice to take a breath of fresh air away from the norm and get something.
I just want to bring this up. I just want to bring this up before I have to end the stream. Oh my goodness. I do not like the fact. So the dude who's actually supposed to be guarding the lighthouse, supposed to be doing all this stuff, he gets aroused by the lighthouse and he's starting to push himself. And
I will say this is a if you are uncomfortable by male masturbation, maybe don't check this one out.
Yeah, definitely. And
it's,
like,
I'll just say it's rated R. It's a rated R film.
He started to like masturbate to this. We really honestly don't know. To us, it's just a light. He's starting to masturbate to it, and the dude under him, that's like, he wants to know what's so great up there, right?
Yeah, you know, what's so great about the light.
Yeah, because he's been working coal for the past
yeah weeks? So long story short, Willem Dafoe treats Robert Pattinson like shit in this movie, like bad.
Yeah. And so he goes up there and like, it's like mesh type of, so, and he sees him like ejaculating, and he ejaculates, and it falls through the thing and falls right in front of his face. And I don't know, I thought that was the funniest scene. I might be childish, but I thought that was
hilarious. Yeah, no, we can definitely talk more in depth about it next time on the podcast, but other than that, I think we're running running on time here. So
we're done.
So yeah, definitely. If you liked us talking about Alice and the Acid Trip and male masturbation in the lighthouse, definitely stay tuned for episode 3 of our podcast dropping Friday.
Yes, that would be Friday. We post every other day. So, yep, that'll be good.
Yeah, definitely keep us on your schedule. Definitely keep checking us out. Next episode, me and him will be in person, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I hope y'all have a great day, and I hope y'all love the stream.
Yeah, definitely. See y'all guys next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.